There we go. Okay, let's go to the first slide. So my title is to talk about really data. And when Tim set up Effective Ministry Under God, what he did was, like any good private equity man, he looked at data. So my presentation is not going to be necessarily taking the Bible and presenting it to you. My presentation is going to be presenting data and taking that under the theology that we know to be an evangelical theology to allow that data to speak to you this morning. Tim started up this project as a sabbatical, as I said, a six-month sabbatical about 2 years ago, when he really wanted to answer the questions of what has gone on with the church and is there anything that we can do about it. And so the data you see on the screen is the census data for Christianity in Australia. Back one slide. Whoa. It's not the clicker, it's my slides. Okay, I'll keep going without slides. And we'll see how we go, if we can get the slides up or not. If you look at the census data for Australia for the last century, Christian church... Are we back? Mike's here? Golly, technology. I'm here? The Christian church has declined greatly over the last century. And really, particularly mainstream religion, the embassies, if you like, for Christ in this land, have declined and declined and declined through each century. Each decade. Are we back up now? We're up there. We're almost there. But at the same time, if you ask people what they think about the church, we end up with some attitudinal data that I think is alarming. I have been doing marketing for many years, and I'm used to seeing data that talks about having a slightly negative thought process. I have never seen attitudinal data that has information that talks about a massive negative. And yet when the community was asked about the church's position when it relates to things like abuse, war, and things like that, the church has a massive negative put beside it, which is a real problem for the church. So what Tim did over his 6 months was he went and looked at the data, and he started with a great data set, the National Church Life Survey, which is done every 5 years. We did our last one last year, and we're looking forward to that data being available shortly. He was supported heavily by Anglicare Research Division. We looked at the census. And then he took that and went out into the community and met with Christian ministers here in Sydney, Anglican ministers in Sydney. And as he met with them, they gave him pointers as to where he should look. They also gave him a list of about 120 books that he should read. I know those books well. They're now in my garage, and I'm working my way through them. As we digested those, we then went back to the ministry and asked them questions in surveys. We did 75 interviews. We did workshops to try and work out best practice. And we ended up with this great big data set. And so where eMUG has become, if you like, to the north, if you think of the four points of a compass, to the north, eMUG is about taking data and making it available for churches that you can analyse the effectiveness of what you're doing. To the south, it's about taking that data and implementing, working with it to be more effective under God in ministry, in discipleship, if you like. If you think about to the east, there's this whole data set of understanding what is best practice not just in Sydney, but around Christianity in Australia and overseas, and then taking it and packaging it up to the west, working with ministers and churches to implement that best practice within their context. All under God. So that is what eMUG is about. If you look then at the data about the church, and I'm going to try and describe to you slides. Like, if I move over there, it gets worse. Is that it? Over the last century, the black eye that Dale mentioned that the church has received, you can see some of the reasons for the black eye. If you go back through the last century, starting with World War I, the institution of the church went to war. There we go, there's your attitude. Is it up there now?
Yep.
Next slide. There's the data set, next slide. There's the four points of the compass, next slide. This is where we're up to. Thank you, well done. Thanks, Justin. Yeah. I was going to say, how the heck do I describe this next chart after this? The church, the institutions that represent the church have been smashed over the previous century. It starts with war. We move into the Depression and the Second World War, and the institutions called the church went to war gladly and prayerfully. We came back from the Second World War and church started exiting from the school agenda. So our children's education became less influenced by the institution that represented Christianity. As we move away from World War II again and into the 70s, the institution of family is attacked. And in 1975, no-fault divorce, remember Lionel Murphy, was introduced. And we see marriages, the institution of marriage, being battered. And more recently, I've just heard it called the I-world, individualism is a great attack on personality and representing Christ. So I guess this is the black eye that Dale was talking about in some way. And if you then look at what the impact of that on the demographic of the Anglican Church, next slide, you'll see that we have a demographic that looks like this. You look at age moving from left to right, and percentage of the population is represented by the chart. And you see that the Anglican Church, Australia-wide, is a graying church. The Anglican Church is a church that has suffered in more recent years to win population. If you think about it like a boa constrictor model, you've got the boa constrictor that's eaten the great big beast, and it's slowly digesting it. Well, in 40 years, that beast called the bolus of our congregation is going to be digested. We haven't changed the death rate, and the church profile might look something different, something very, very different, and the numbers attending church might be very, very different. Well, thanks be to God that he's brought it to our attention with 40 years in advance. If we do nothing, we can expect our church to change dramatically. But we can do something under God. We need to remember many people that are sitting in this bolus are financially and with personal resource supporting our churches. So we have an opportunity to make a change. Next slide. If we go back to marriage, and I said that marriage was attacked. Here's the profile of marriages within Australia. And you can see that ever since World War II, really, there's been that gradual decline in marriage rate in Australia. You see in 1975 the spike in divorce, and it's just kept the travelling of the decline going. If we take these two lines together, next slide, and put them together as children to stable marriages, you see a gradual decline that amazingly correlates at 92% with the attendance rates at churches. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that this is a causative relationship. I've got to be careful not to say that. But what I am going to say to you is, and point out is that there is an amazing correlation. And I do need to point out that this is the slide that you would expect to see if our only growth as an Anglican church came from Christian children in stable families growing up within the church and becoming participants in the church as they grow up. This would be the line that you would expect to see if we were ineffectual at adult conversion and we're not gaining people for Christ once they moved out of youth. And I have to say, folks, the data actually says that that is what is happening in our churches, and we have an opportunity here to prayerfully repent and ask ourselves under God, what can we do to win souls for Christ in adulthood? But importantly, next slide, men, we're here to talk about being men. And I want to use this slide to really highlight this top point. As we work through this presentation, there's going to be three things. Down the bottom, what you can do personally as a man. Up the top, what you can do for your family. And in the middle, for your church. We need to recognise that as marriages fall apart, faith is affected dramatically, as is church representation. So my first point is, please, those of you who are married, protect your marriage. Those of you who are thinking about marriage, go into marriage wisely. Marriage needs to be for the long term. It is for eternity, or at least while we're here. And for those of you who are exploring and experimenting, I liked the line last night, think about whether you're willing to have this woman commit herself emotionally to you for the rest of her life. You have a great responsibility. Protect your marriage. Next slide. Well, the question that was asked as Tim was going through the data is, what about beliefs? Have beliefs changed? Is that why the decline is going down? And I saw this slide and I thought this was magnificent. I wasn't so surprised to find out that about 75% of the population believe in God. But what I was surprised to see was that, you know, we know that Australians love sport, third from the left there. and people attend sporting events. But I was surprised to see about the same number of people have attended a standard church service in the year before this data was gathered. About 40%, 2 in 5 people, attended a standard church service. The media would have us believe... Sorry, I've gone to the wrong slide, haven't I? I'm talking about beliefs. Sorry. I'm not surprised to see 75% believe in the divinity of believing God. But 2/5 of people believe in the resurrection of Jesus. 2/5 of people believe that Jesus lived, died, and was rose from the dead. To me, that's amazing. Are you surprised by that data? Yeah. It is surprising, but this is what people said. This is what people said. Now, the media would have us believe that this is not the truth, because people in the media have changed. But you go over to the right, and despite that, you still end up with less than 20% of people attend church monthly. So let's look at attendance. This is where I blurred the 2 slides. Again, the God of Australia is sport. The number of people who attended a sporting event in the last year, about 2 in 5. I was really surprised to see that, again, the same number of people attended a regular church service in the year previously. Look at that figure to the left. A huge number of people, 7 in 10 people, attended a church service of some sort during the previous year. That included special events. Now, if you think about it, that's challenging. But when you realise that includes Easter, Christmas, baptisms, christenings, weddings, funerals, you start to see that God in his grace is bringing people in our doors. People are attending. People are coming through the doors. But again, why do we end up with only 20% of people attending on a regular basis? And this is where we get to a slide that, guys, we need to be very worried about. The question was asked about the importance, you know, whether Christians need to go to church. Now, I'm not entirely surprised at all about the attitudes of people who are infrequent attenders or are non-attenders. Of course they're going to say, oh, I don't need to go to church. It's kind of defensive, isn't it? But almost half of the people who sit here in the pews on a Sunday said that they didn't need to go to church to be a Christian. 45% of regular attenders believe they don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And ideologically, you know, there's some truth to that, isn't there? But in reality, that's a great falsehood. And I take offence to this slide for 2 personal reasons. My personal experience just doesn't match up with this. I think of friends who I've been with over the years, in recent years and in years past, more less recently. People who've stopped coming to church because their kids were playing sport on Sundays, gone to nippers on Sundays. I'm a bit closer to the beach in St Ives. We start to see it there. People who need to do other things on Sunday, like work. But as people start to drop out a little bit, we see them become less regular and less regular. And no longer do they even show up at Christmas and Easter, because church became that thing. Christianity became that thing they used to do. Christianity became that thing they grew out of sometime along the track. Is that your experience? The second piece of my experience is informed by what happened to me when I moved overseas. I moved to Bangkok. Let me give you a bit of background. You know, I was, by all means, in the way you looked at me, a good Christian, like many of you would have been. I was a youth leader. I was a Bible study leader. I taught scripture. I attended every day. I sang up the front of church. You know, you would have said, gee, he's a fantastic Christian. But in 1994, I got asked to go and, as a single man, go and live in Bangkok. And I loved Bangkok, and I enjoyed Bangkok. But I was challenged in Bangkok, and not by any of the things that some of you guys might be thinking of. You know, I was scared of the nightlife in Bangkok, to be honest. But after 3 weeks, what I saw is that I wasn't praying really at all, very much at all. I certainly wasn't reading my Bible. And I was becoming a hollow individual, an individual who didn't spend time with God. And you know what? I didn't really want to find a new church. I'd moved away from a strong, supportive church community that encouraged me, that challenged me, that held me accountable. And I'd moved into a nothing. And I found that my faith withered greatly. It really was challenged. And I went on like this for about 7 or 8 weeks. But by God's grace, this is the view, back one slide, this is the view out of my off my balcony. And the arrow is pointing too, because it's hard to see a Christian cross. For those of you who know Bangkok, the road in the background is Sukhumvit. I was living on Sukhumvit Soi 8. And Sukhumvit Soi 10, which is the next street, is a lovely church called the Evangelical Church of Bangkok. And so I found my home and a church community in the next street. A wonderful church where I joined a Bible study of people much older than me, people of all nations. And I was greatly encouraged and challenged, and my strength in God grew again as I formed a relationship again, as I re-established the relationship and region. He never left me, but I certainly left him. These people encouraged me greatly. They encouraged me to read the Bible. They encouraged me to pray. They encouraged me to marry the girl I left back in Sydney. And so I did. I got married to her and brought her over to Bangkok. And we shared a great life with this church. My point is, folks, my experience, and both personally and with others, is that people fall away. People leave God when they don't attend church. Next slide. And the data shows it. The data shows, this is a slide looking at people's Christian belief, authentic Christian belief, if you like, orthodoxy or biblical belief, relative to time they spend away from church. And the truth is, the data says that within the first year, there is discernible difference. Look at that difference. Within 1 to 4 years, if I speak to somebody who's been away from the church for 1 to 4 years, it's a flip of the coin as to whether they describe Christianity as in the biblical view or in some humanistic, liberal, pluralistic view. If you speak to somebody who's been away from the church for 10 years, 70% of what they say will be humanistic claptrap. Now, that's concerning for them personally, but it's concerning for the church and for Christ. Because if somebody goes to them and says, hey, Peter, what does it mean to be a Christian? What they're going to say is not necessarily going to be that Jesus loves you, he died for you, and you need to get to know him if you want to know God. They may well say something, well, we're all going to heaven, we've got to be good, 70% says. And folks, next click. That's why we need to challenge this assumption in our pews, and we need to challenge it in our families. So, next slide. I would ask you, focus on yourself first. Our challenge as men, anchor ourselves in a biblical faith. Understand what it is to follow Jesus. Protect your marriage back up to the top and ensure that your family is anchored in a biblical faith. And folks, in the middle, be attending and accountable and participating in your church community, because we need the encouragement of that community to grow. Thanks, Justin. Well, God in his wisdom, things might be looking backwards, but as you look at the data, what you also find is that God's bringing people in through his doors. I'm not going to spend much time on this slide because I need to move on, but the point that comes out of this slide is in the average 100-person congregation, there's about 80 people who turn up weekly and about 40 people who turn up less than monthly. But visitors coming to the church are about 3 times the congregation on a regular basis. People who come once a year is about 6 times the congregation. You want to grow your congregation? Engage with people. Share Jesus Christ and share relationship, and you'll make a big difference. And that brings me to the next slide, which talks about, next slide again, the National Church Life Survey. And again, thank you. So the Church Life Survey is extremely powerful. And it's powerful because it's us talking about ourselves. And this spider graph is how the survey represents data that we filled in about our church. And this is the Sydney Diocese of the Anglican Church. And the way that this chart is put together is that top right-hand corner talks about leadership. And you'll see here that the Anglican Church in Sydney has a very, very strong representation, very, very strong in terms of front of house leadership. The bottom right-hand corner talks about personal growth. Bottom left-hand corner talks about the expression of that growth into action. Personal growth is about Bible studies, small groups. It's about reading on a daily basis, personal devotion. It's about whether you said you were growing. And then the bottom left is about the expression of that in giving, in sharing faith. Top left is about sharing of that in the community. Well, what you see in the Anglican Church, as I said, is great front of house leadership. But what you need to be alarmed by is this bottom right-hand corner. We congratulate ourselves that we have 60% of people in small groups. But as you go to the next one, which talks about daily devotion and growth over the last year, we fall right back towards the centre. Now, I can't interpret this with precision, but what I can point out is it looks to me like we as a church are guilty of what you would call dating God. We see God on Sunday, we see God another time during the week, but we're not working on the relationship 7 days a week. And that's evident here. It's evident in the fact that we say that we're not growing, and therefore it's evident in the fact that we're not sharing the commitment and the expression. If you want to focus on growth of this church, I challenge you, focus on self-growth. Focus on getting close to God and personal devotion, and you watch how it grows out to the left. And clearly this is the biblical model, isn't it? The biblical model, make disciples of the nations, is to proclaim the word, to share in the word, to prayer, to pray to God, and to work with people, to make disciples in the church. Now, no more than that, not to just be reliant on the minister at the front, but to make disciples who make other disciples. It's to build a church community. Next slide. And I'm not going to go through this, but there are plenty of biblical references to support this. Next slide again. And if you want to look at the data, does the data say it works? Well, the National Church Life Survey shows us that those faiths, those churches that say that they are more committed to personal devotion with God, we see greater growth over the 10-year period of the survey data that was looked at. Again, be careful in the reading the data. I just want to present it. Next slide. If you ask the same question of senior pastors in the Sydney Anglican Church, you see the same sort of correlation. Ministers who say that they spend more time in daily devotion to God, personal devotion to God, we see 5-year growth. Please don't say, if John reads his Bible more, we're going to grow. That may well happen. God is a sovereign God. What this is trying to say, though, is churches that spend time with God are churches of God. And be careful how you read the data. Next slide. Next slide again. And the data also says, I made the comment about that bottom right-hand quadrant pushing into the left-hand quadrant. The data also says that those people who said that they were growing in commitment. In the dark blue, they were willing to share their faith with others, more to share their faith. In white, they were more willing to invite the unchurched to church. And in the light blue, they were more likely to be giving 10% or more of their finances, of their offering to the church. As people grow in discipleship, they do grow in their commitment. Again, this is a powerful message for the church. Don't focus on necessarily giving. Focus on discipleship. Focus on growing, and the rest will come. And that's why, next slide, I say to you men, if you want to focus on what it is to be a man of God within the church today, take heed of this. Grow personally. Focus time in the Word daily. Grow in your devotion to God and make sure that it is anchored on His Word. For your family, for your friends, make sure their faith is anchored in Christ. Make sure they are growing daily. And then as a church community, be committed, be participative, is a good word, isn't it? And ensure that you're accountable to that group. Build a church that is growing. And build a church that is looking for discipleship. And before I finish, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't show you this slide. One of the important pieces of information that came through the Sydney questionnaires is that the ministers of the Sydney Diocese are working extraordinarily hard. 54 hours a week, and that's before you take into account the extraordinary number of hours that they take home in terms of thinking about Mr. and Mrs. Brown or whomever has a problem. And the data showed that about 6 in 10 of our ministers across Sydney are on the edge of burnout. And why do I say that here, guys? Next slide. Because we have a job to do within our churches. And so I would say, encourage you with your participation and your focus on church growth. Focused on your minister's growth. Focus on your minister's workload as well. Be participative to the point of taking on the burden. Because at the end of the day, the church is not about the leaders up the front. The church is about whether we are building disciples in the pews. In fact, disciples who can make disciples. Folks, I've got to finish with this slide because it is important when talking about effective ministry to recognise we can do all we can, And we should do what we can to do the best that we can possibly do given the gifts that God has given us. But at the end of the day, as Christian men of God, we recognize that God is sovereign. God is in control, and he will choose to bless our ministry as he chooses. But he is sovereign, and his promises are very real, and we can be comfortable that we leave them in his hands. I'm going to finish there. I don't know if there'll be many questions, but I hope that was helpful to you. Again, speaking from data, which really does reinforce God's word. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. There's clearly so much more in there that you could have said and wanted to say. It's remarkable stuff. I'd just make two comments that came in my mind as you were talking. I'm staggered that people call monthly, going to church monthly, regular attendance.
Yeah.
I grew up, my parents taught me that if you're going to be regular, you go every week. Monthly to me is not regular. That's amazing. And the other thing is, people who think they can be a Christian and not go to church, seems to me that there's a misunderstanding of the nature of what we're saved into. It's not